to the RunnerX podcast, where we talk about all things running. As many runners know, it's 90% mental. So join Coach Valerie and Coach Caroline as we go through the mental side of running.
Welcome back to the RunnerX podcast. I'm your host, Coach Caroline, and I am with Coach Valerie. Coach, we've kind of got a question. What is the difference between running and leaning? Falling and leaning. I said that wrong.
No. It's okay. In fact, here's a fun fact. You can describe running as free falling. And it's fun. Like if you start to think of running that way, running does become more fun. Leaning is hinging at the waist or bending. And so if you think about leaning, like you're supported, like you lean against the wall. You don't fall against the wall, right? If I fall, I'm falling. It's an absolute, like it's gravity. It's physically happening. Leaning is you like putting a little bit of pressure against something, but not really committing fully. Like fall is full commitment. And right. This is, by the way, when I very first started getting into the running, and learning running and the three elements, it's pose, fall, pull. And when you're in the running pose, you are in balance and then you fall out of balance and then you pull your foot to regain your balance. And it's just this really cool cycle. And for just a second, by the way, the falling happens on the ground. And this is hard for people because once you're in flight, you're just in flight. This is the travel part of falling. Like if you tripped and fell, you tripped on the ground, the right. Falling part, right? So what's hard is for most people, and especially, I mean, everybody, you don't sense falling in the beginning when you're first learning. And we spend all of our day not falling. We are constantly bracing against gravity, all of us, all the time, or we would be right face planted. So you don't realize how much you're resisting actually falling until you first have to realize, wow, I'm standing here on purpose resisting falling, right? First, it has to be like a conscious thought. And by the way, none of us are standing and just leaning back, right? We're it's called a ready stance. Most of us, you hope your knees are bent, but most people, when they stand, they find a way to hold themselves in balance. You just do it naturally. So you're always trying to balance yourself so you don't fall over. So then for running, I want you to get out of balance. I want you to fall over. And it's scary.
Right.
It's a strange thought. And the reason, by the way, people that sprint, if you watch the track athletes, the sprinters, like the really fast sprinters, they start on the block on purpose because they're actually falling at a point that's way past their ability to sustain. So right. They actually spend their run bringing their body upright into a fall they can hold, which, by the way, you realize, I think it's past, I'm going to say 400, there's no more blocks. Right now, it's not considered a sprint anymore. And then they just do kind of a slight. So this is important, guys, because this is what you've seen all your life. But remember, the sprinter has their hands out. They're actually supported. They're never bending. It just appears that way. But their hands are out and they actually are holding their ears, shoulders, hips in line. This is the important thing because the head is the heaviest part of your body. So if your head starts to go too far forward, which is bending or leaning, then you have problems, right? But
right.
What we help you to understand is that you actually fall forward the entire body from the foot to the head, with the pivot point being the ankle. And in the beginning, by the way, guys, this is interesting. When we very first started teaching pose, people would say you fall from your ankles. Well, there's no way you can't fall from your ankles. That's physically impossible. But what happens is gravity acts on your center of mass, which is your hips. But what leads the falling is your upper body lifting up. And then your whole body weight travels forward. And it's again, concept first. And we show people videos, you know, like here's sprinters doing it. Here's elite marathoners doing it. And because the forward lean is what the eye sees. We see people at the start of the race bent over because it feels fast. That's how they all start. But no one stays that way. You know, it's important to understand that. So as our recreational runners that we are, age group runners, most of our runners want to run marathons and those kinds of distances, then I just teach the up itself. Like, there's just never a reason for you to bend forward. There just isn't.
Right.
And it's perception that's the challenge.
Yeah.
And then of course, strength comes right directly behind.
Right.
Because it's amazing how, and this is kind of where the core strength for running, I think, started, is when people try to run a little bit faster or try to run a little bit longer, either one, this is when the injuries start. And it could be your back, your hips, your shins, your calves, you know, whatever it is. Almost all of these injuries are coming because you're out of balance. And as soon as you're out of balance, then you're going to be on the ground too long. And as soon as you're on the ground too long, you're adding, you know, impact. So it's amazing that just even the thought of fall versus lean can change mm-hmm. how much impact you're putting in your run. And guys, we see it even in our own runners. Like, I had a clinic a couple weeks ago with runners that have been with me for over a year, you know, and it's their perception. Every one of them wants to, like, that bend is so powerful because it feels fast. So several of them started off kind of bending and then they would overcorrect. And as we teach people, this is something you could take, you could try this yourself. You need to lift your torso up. And as soon as you start to feel it and understand it, it takes away any thought of leaning or bending because you start to understand what's happening when you start that lift up. But if you never feel it or you don't find it or look for it, then you will feel that false fall with the bending or leaning. And even Caroline can giggle at this now, but remember, it used to drive me crazy. Like,
right.
I mean, when she first met me, and by the way, this is also because I learned directly from Dr. Romanoff, who created this method. And he was like, it's fall with gravity. And he, by the way, has all of the, he's done this with math equations and physics. I'm not that detailed. But if you actually start looking, it's a very simple diagram. If you take like a ball, right, just a ball, and it's sitting on a table flat, and then you just kind of lift the table slightly, the ball will start to roll. But the ball itself doesn't change. It's still the same ball. That's you. Your body doesn't need to bend forward or back. You need to stay perfectly still and hold and let that table tilt. You know, that's what's so cool. And when you find it, like when you really work on it and you feel it. And by the way, the best part, guys, this is for any speed. It doesn't have to be for sprinting. It's completely for any speed. The challenge is most people in the beginning only feel it, you know, for a little faster. So then we have to help you feel how to find that fall angle for any speed you want to go. But this is one cool fact, and I'll stop. But a human being has a range of 0 to 22.5 degrees before they face plant, and that's fall angle. The closest measure to that 22.5 so far is Usain Bolt, probably more recently a few of the newer sprinters, but we know he's world record. And he was like at 21. And then someone like Kipchoge, who ran a 2-hour marathon, his fall angle is like 18.4, right? So these are, this is how they're able to do this. And their cadence is high. So that's Kipchoge. So by the way, like a female, like a very fast female, their fall angle sometimes is actually slightly higher and their cadence is certainly higher to hold mm-hmm. that same pace. When I measure our runners, our RunRx runners, okay, and so 18.4 for Kipchoge, all right? So you imagine, though, you've got this incredible range that you probably haven't even tested. Most runners, when they come in and I measure their fall, they're using 0 to 2 degrees. And it's amazing how adding just 1 degree does an amazing thing. Like, it reduces impact. You're going to go a little faster. Your run feels better. and then you go another degree, and all of a sudden people are falling like 8 to 10 degrees. And they're like, oh my gosh, like I'm now running. They've never felt running before. And it wasn't because they didn't have the cardiovascular fitness. It was because they didn't understand the movement and how to use their body weight in running. So that's the fascinating part, guys, about learning how to do this. And then people do want to run a little faster just because they can have fun with the fall.
Right.
Then you're only pulling 2% of your body weight. I mean, it's really
wild. That's what I was going to say is when you come in for and you get the gait analysis, and I really do encourage people get the gait analysis right off the bat, even though a lot of people don't. They wait a week or so before they come in or before they actually get the gait analysis. You can find out like what is that angle of fall and what is the time spent on the ground, right? You give them that information. So then they can see over time how the fall has, you know, increased the angle.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Like just a tiny little bit, how much of a difference it makes. And when you see that angle and you see the difference where your head is in relationship to the rest of your body, I geek out on it. It was like a big aha moment for me when you started realizing this bowling ball that you're trying to keep in balance as you're on basically in the air and then on one foot and hopefully, you know, for just a millisecond of time, the least amount of time, the better, right? So it's really powerful if you do come in, and it's a great deal because we only charge you about $99 for a month, and you can get one gait analysis at the beginning. You can check in once a week, and Valerie will give you that one-on-one feedback. And then you can do a gait analysis at the end. One gait analysis, if you just paid a la carte, that's $197. So it's like such a deal to come in and get that gait analysis.
And you can come on to the Zooms.
Right, and you can come on to Zoom and get live training right at that time. It's really powerful. So if you're interested in getting that gait analysis and coming in and coming on the Zooms and working with us, why don't you go to runrx.fit, that's runrx.fit, and hit the green button that says work with RunRx. If you can't afford it right now, we totally understand. You can always go to all of our YouTube channel, our Instagram, our Facebook, we're on X. And we're going to be adding more content basically every week. So stay with us, subscribe, and become part of the RunRx community. We'd really love to have you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us on the RunRx podcast. If you'd like to know more, join us at www.runrx.fit. And if you have additional questions that you'd like answered on the podcast, email us at support@runrx.fit.